All right, good evening. Good Erev Hashanah. Before we begin, just I'm not great at this, but tonight's the yahrzeit of my grandmother. So the learning we do tonight should be Lezecher Nishmas Makachana Bas Chaim. Okay, somewhere close to the 40th yahrzeit. Today's daf is daf tzadi zayin. We're a little bit behind. We are on the very bottom tzadi vav and aleph, and we're trying to figure out what are the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. That was the beginning of the ninth parak. Well, the beginning of the ninth parak really took us through the basics of Pesach Sheni, and we got to speak out together some of the very basic halachas regarding Pesach Sheni, the nature of Pesach Sheni. Is it a regel b'tnei atzmo? Is it just simply a makeup date for the first Pesach? We spoke about who can bring for Pesach Sheni, who can't bring for Pesach Sheni, who is allowed to. We spoke a little bit recently about Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibor again, or Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibor again. We spoke out the definitions of Derech Rechoka, which led to a very interesting gaf. That was Daf Tzadi Dalin. And then we went over some basic differences and similarities between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. That was Daf Tzadi Hei. And then most recently, we spoke out the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros, meaning as long as we're making comparisons between various Pesachim, so now we're going to highlight the difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. One thing that the Gemara said that we went over, I'd say this morning, I'd say yesterday, but it was really this morning, to me was fascinating. Where was the Mizbeach Mitzrayim? Meaning the Mitzrayim we offered a carbon, right? The first one historically that we brought as a nation. And where was the Mizbeach? Because as we know, in order to bring a carbon, you have to do Zrikas Adam on Mizbeach. So where exactly was the Mizbeach? So the Gemara asked that question, and it's a tough question. The Gemara argued yesterday that the Zrikas Adam took in the form of the Agudas Ezo, where you dipped into the dam, and Vigat al Mashkof Hashtem Mizzos, and then you sprinkled it onto the lentil and onto the two doorposts. And with the way the Gemara explained it was that the doorway, the lentil, and two doorposts serve as basically a mizbeach. Actually, to be more accurate, the Gemara called it gimel mizbechos. There was like three mizbeachs in everyone's house: the doorposts and the lentil going over the top. Okay, Ad Kan. That was the end of that sugya. What are the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros? So the Gemara pointed out really not a lot. Meaning, when all said and done, there aren't that many distinctions between them. In fact, Perek Yigimel Pasuk Hey. So the Gemara says, you see what we're doing here? This is what we're going to be doing for all generations. So truth be told, is that close to no distinctions, no differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. There are a lot of psukim and Perek Yud Beis, which the Gemara noted, which have limitations. The psukim with the word zeh, or bo, or mimenu. So the Gemara noted that, yes, that's all true, but that's not differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. That's just differences between Pesach Doros and other various halachas, which we went through, which we covered very quickly over the course of this morning. What then becomes the difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros? So when all said and done, I think, you can go over the daf and correct me and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it really only results in one basic difference. I mean, aside from the fact that there was no Mizbeach, but there's really only one basic difference, and that is for the Pesach Mitzrayim, you had to buy it on Yud Nisan. In other words, there's a halacha of kicha, of actually purchasing it on Yud Nisan, but Ladori Doros for all future generations, you don't have to buy it on the 10th day of Nisan. It needs bikur, it needs investigation like other karbanos do, like the karban tami does, but it doesn't actually have to be purchased on Yud Nisan. A point I didn't raise this morning, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, what was Yud Nisan? Meaning, what day of the week was Yud Nisan? So yeah, I know, everyone knows this, but you know, being that this is a daf, and being that, you know, that was the appropriate time to mention it, so I should have mentioned it this morning. But anyway, the correct answer is that Yud Nisan was Shabbos, hence it was called Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, and much to discuss, none of it in the Gemara, but much to discuss about Yud Nisan being Shabbos, the 10th day of Nisan. Comes out then, by the way, just a parenthetical note, what makes that Pesach Mitzrayim. So what night did they leave Mitzrayim? Meaning if Shabbos is the 10th. It's not a trick question. It's just a simple calendar question. So if the 10th day of Nisan was a Shabbos, so what day of the week Did they leave? What night, I should say, did they leave? They left Chatzos Laila. So they left Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Right, that's what it would come out. And then there is a famous because I know it, a famous question by the Marsha, if that's true, that they left Wednesday night, Thursday morning, so when was the first day of Sfiras HaOmer? So it's a real brain teaser. This is a great question asked by the Marsha. So the first day of Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer took place when? Not on the first day, but it took place on Friday, right? And the Marsha says, if you work out the calendar, when did we receive the Torah? What day of the week did we receive the Torah? We received the Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, that's a great hint. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Masechta Shabbos, that we received the Torah what day of the week? So we received it on Shabbos, right? The Gemara says, Hakom Odim, everyone agrees. We'll disagree in the terms of the date of the month, but that's simply because which, you know, how long each month was. Okay, fine. But we'll all agree, says the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. If that's true, let's see how good everyone is with their calendar. So that makes Shabbos what day of the Omer? 50th. It makes it, this is such a mind bender, makes it the 51st day of the Omer. Right? Because Thursday is when they left Mitzrayim, Thursday morning. They started counting on Friday. Friday's day one. What's the next Friday?
7, 8.
8. Right, and you keep doing that, and you're going to end up that the 50th day falls out on Friday. So the Marsha says, and it comes out now that the 51st day of the Omer Shabbos, which they receive the Torah, and we all have this conception, right, which I assume is accurate, that the Torah was given on the 50th day, not the 51st day. That's the Marsha's question. He's not the only one who asked that question, but a real mind-bender of a question. Nechal b'chipazon. We are just going to continue the Gemara. We're on Sadi Vav Amin Alpha. We're very bottom. Last three lines on the Amud. Minalan. Gemara wants to know. Very simple question. How do I know that? Amakar v'achaltam oso b'chipazon. Pasuk says so. Okay, it's a great indication, by the way, that there's this halacha that you have to be eaten quickly. Chipazon, by the way, means mehiras. That's, you can see the Rashi on the very bottom. It has to be eaten very quickly. So it says, but that's not the key word. The key word is the word oso. So now we could say this is going to be our second distinction between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. Pesach Mitzrayim, we had to eat in haste. Pesach Doros, you could sit down, you can eat, you can take your time. Not too much time, by the way. We all know we're on the clock on a regular Pesach. We have to eat to finish the Karban Pesach either by midnight or the morning, depending on who you hold, like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. But in the very least, however, you don't have to rush through the Karban Pesach. Masha Enkin, however, when it comes to Pesach Mitzrayim, so there's a din. It wasn't just a pragmatic issue. It was a din that it had to be eaten in haste in order to show our anticipation of leaving Mitzrayim. Okay, Pesach Dara is noe kol shiva. Okay, this is the last line of the Mishnah. Last line of the Mishnah, kipshuto, does not make sense in the Gemara right here, points that out. So amai kai. So what are we talking about? Meaning, Pesach Mitzrayim, that's just one day. But Pesach Dara, it goes all 7 days. What goes all 7 days? So, Ilei Ma Pesach, we're talking about the Karban Pesach, so we all know Pesach Kol Shiva Mi'ika. It's just simply not true. It's patently not true. Because Karban Pesach is only eaten one day, not even. One night. And according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, half of one night. So that can't be the Pshat in the Mishnah. Ela Chametz. So the Gemara says it's called going on the Mitzvah of Chametz, which we know there's a Mitzvah to eat Chametz all 7 days. So the Gemara says, okay, but Michal de Pesach Mitzrayim, Laila Echad V'Sulo. But then it sounds like by Pesach Mitzrayim there was only a mitzvah to eat matzah for one day. How do I know that by Pesach Mitzrayim the chimutz only applied for one day? The iser of chametz for Mitzrayim was for a full day, meaning the first full day. So that's a problem because the Mishnah makes it sound like there's only an Isser of Chametz only the night of. So the Gemara says, Ela Yom Echad, Tamalam, Elo Yechal Chametz, Rismich Mele, sorry, Hachi Kamar, Laila Echad, Vuhu Adin LePesach Doros. So the Gemara says, we're going to have to give, obviously, another Pshat in the Mishnah, and here's how the Pshat's basically going to go. The Pshat will be that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, same. Meaning Pesach Mitzrayim, one night. Pesach Doros, one night. And again, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, not even. Half of one night.
But in the same parsha, it actually says, Vayom HaShivad Yomim Tuchal Matzot. In the parsha of Kaddish Li, where...
Right. Where the Gemara is quoting from right now. Okay, I understand that, but the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi's drasha is just simply for Pesach Mitzrayim. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Fine, Hachi Kamar Laila Echad Be'Wedin LePesach Doros V'Chimutzu Kol Hayom UPesach Doros Noi Kol Sheva." And then the Gemara says, and that's not what we're contrasting regarding Karm Pesach. Same time frame in terms of when it's eaten, in terms of the Yisur of Chametz. That's the distinction. In Mitzrayim, the Yisur of Chametz was only for one day, meaning an entire day. For Pesach Doros, it's all 7 days. Just as long as we finish this sugya, just a general question, which I don't really have an answer to, but I'll raise the issue. And I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm sure someone raises the issue. Usually, we're not that interested in historical halacha. Right? Usually. We'll see this in the beginning of Yuma, where the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma, somewhere in the first couple of dapim, I don't remember which daf off the top of my head, the Gemara was quoting a halacha that applied one time historically, and the Gemara finally concluded and said, look, it's nice, but my dehava hava, meaning we're much more interested in the halacha that applies l'dor doros. In fact, the Rambam writes, and you know, he counts the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, so he gives you the rules before he counts them, meaning let's figure out what I'm going to count, what I'm not going to count. So one of his most basic rules is that I will only count the mitzvah, it's the l'dor doros, only if it's for all generations. But a mitzvah that's a temporary mitzvah, harashah, so the Rambam says, I don't count that as one of the 613. That's not one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So it is interesting that the Gemara spent an amud, a long amud, talking about, here's what we did in Mitzrayim, and here's what we do for Dori Dorison, and they're not exactly the same. So I guess what we do get from all this is, you know, we get to review some of the halachas of the Dori Doros, but why the Gemara is so spent, so energized over how did Pesach Mitzrayim look and what halachas applied there and what didn't, meaning it was a historical event, and from a halachic standpoint, it's not like we're not interested, we're interested, but from a halachic standpoint, it doesn't really bear on our practice. So it's just a general question, why the Gemara is so interested in it, I don't know why, but something to think about. Okay, we start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah now is going to begin a sugya that's going to take us today, and hopefully we'll finish it by the end of today. I doubt it. And it's a tough sugya. Let me be honest. I'll be honest right from the beginning. We're going to be doing the remainder of this daf and all of Tzadi Zayin, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. And it takes us to the Parsha of Temura. So just let's just go over a quick introduction. I know it's not that long ago that we did Masechta Temura together, but still it bears reviewing, bears repeating. So the Torah says regarding two things regarding Temura. A, don't do it. And B, if you do it, now you have a mitzvah to fulfill. It's a funny, the whole Temura is a funny idea. But first let's go over the laugh. Don't do it. The Torah says, lo yimirenu, that one is not allowed to affect Temura. So what is Temura? Temura basically goes like this. I have a carbon, I have an animal that I designate as a carbon. It has Kedushas Aguf. We know, we've been discussing this all throughout Kachim, once an animal is invested with Kedushas Aguf, so now it has intrinsic Kedusha, it is non-redeemable. I cannot extract the Kedusha out of the animal. Now, what you can do is allow the animal to graze and get a blemish, and if it does so then you could redeem it. But even after you redeem it, to be frank and honest, it still has residual Kedusha. Meaning, once an animal is invested with a Kedusha as a carbon, pretty much it's going to be a carbon for the rest of its life. Okay? And so the Torah says that if I have an animal that's a carbon, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this animal, I really want this animal. I don't want to bring it as a carbon. But I know I can't redeem it. So here's what I'll do. I have another animal. It's not as nice. It's okay. You know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to transfer the Kedusha from this animal to that animal. So Mizbeach is not going to lose. We're all going to be good. I'll just simply effect a transfer. That's what's called Temura. The word Temura means an exchange.
Oh, it's worse or better. It'd be better, huh?
The Torah says don't do it either way. Torah says, Ra betov v'tov b'ra. Torah says, it really doesn't matter which way you're going. I'm just describing a scenario in which I'm giving motivation. I'm explaining why a person would do it to begin with. It's just, it's a little bit bizarre to begin with, but okay. So I'm just painting a picture.
Maybe you want to give a better one.
Okay. it takes a special person to think like that. So I'm talking, you know, to the rest of us. I'm describing, you know, how, you know, the rest of the world thinks. So So fine. So the Torah says, number one, don't do it. Meaning that's a lav if you do it. And then the Torah says, now that you did it, now what? So first of all, the original animal still has kedusha. The kedusha did not leave the first animal. So the original animal still has kedusha, and says the Torah, the animal that you tried to transfer is in fact going to be invested with kedusha. So basically, temura is multiplication. It's a multiplication of kedusha, where I know what you wanted to do was exchange, but the Torah says, "Hu usmuraso ye kodesh," or ye kadosh. Okay, I don't have a chumash in front of me. I do. Okay, but no one on the tape sees it. So the "Hu usmuraso ye kadosh." So the that it and its exchange are going to both have kedusha. Okay, that's the halach of temura. Interesting, Rambam. The Rambam finds the reason behind every mitzvah in the Torah, right? He doesn't write it in Mishneh Torah. He writes his reasons. He writes it sparsely in Sefer HaMitzvos, and he writes it more extensively in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam counts it as two.
Really?
Yes.
So he's one of the six positive ones.
So of Temura, there is what there's. It covers two of the 613. One negative and one positive.
So if someone wants to do a positive, he has to do a negative.
Yeah, correct. That's what makes the whole thing strange. Meaning, it's one of those mitzvahs where to do the positive, you have to violate negative. Okay, but Torah has a number of mitzvahs where to do the positive, you got to do a negative. Theft. I steal, that's gzeila. I return the item I stole, that's a mitzvah. Okay, so we have that. We have that in the Torah where you can have an essay and a losa say. And you're right. And it's we don't want to get to the mitzvah essay, but sometimes you do. You get there. Okay? That is a overview of the halacha of Temura. With all that stated now, we go to our Mishnah, and we take a look at the Mishnah inside Amar Rav Yehoshua. Shamati shetemur spesach kreva, temur spesach ena kreva. So Rav Yehoshua says, Shamati, I heard. Now Rav Yehoshua, by the way, was one generation Tanaim earlier than Rabbi Akiva. Right? Who do we normally see Rav Yehoshua coupled with? He's with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so he is a tkufa, one tkufa above Rabbi Akiva. So he says, look, here's what I heard. Sometimes Tmuras Pesach is offered as a carbon, sometimes it's not offered as a carbon. The Ein Li Lefarish. And Rabbi Yeshua says, but after that point in time, I don't know. I know that there is sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. So Tmuras Pesach, what does that mean? Okay, so now we're all now experts in Temura. Not really, but expert enough. I have a carbon Pesach, and I want to transfer the Kedusha from this to another animal. Who usmor so ye kodesh? So now I'm going to be looking at two carbon Pesachs. What Rav Yehoshua is saying is that our secondary carbon, meaning we'll call it the derivative carbon sometimes is offered, sometimes is not. Rav Yehoshua says, but that's all I got. It was a tough day in Shir. That I walked away from Shir, right? Sometimes we feel this way after like a very complicated Shir. I walked away with Shir knowing that, but that's all I know. So I'm Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva comes along and he says, Ani Afarish. So Rabbi Akiva says, I think I got it. So, HaPesach Shenim Tzakarim Shechitas HaPesach. So if the Karim Pesach is found before the Shechita of the Pesach, Yira Achi Yistai V'Yimaka V'Yavi B'damav Shlamim V'chein Temuraso. Acher shechitas haPesach krav shlamim v'chein temuraso. So here Rabbi Akiva says like this. Now, obviously, in every temura scenario, there are always going to be two animals. Always. In this particular scenario, it's going to get even more complicated than that. There's not going to be two animals, but rather there's going to be three animals. Allow me to explain. What happened is as follows: I lost my carbon Pesach. Okay, right. You could sing to yourself the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb. And he lost it. Well, Mary's not the best name to choose, but okay. Chaim. and he lost it. And now what he does is he gets a replacement. So now, with the replacement carbon Pesach, he plans now on bringing the replacement as his carbon Pesach. Good. Now, as life goes, everyone with enough experience in life knows exactly what's going to happen. He's going to find the original one. After he already spent the money of, you know, buying a new carbon Pesach. So Rabbi Akiva says like this. If the Pesach is Nimsa Karim Shechitas HaPesach, so let's say I found my original animal before I shecht my second Karban Pesach. So now I am looking in the face at two Karban Pesachs. I only need one. The original one is the one I lost, but I recovered. I found it. But I found it before shechting my replacement Karban Pesach. So what can I do with the original? Yireh, let it graze. Achi yistaev, until it develops a blemish. V'yimakir, and sell it. V'yavi b'tmav, v'shlamim. And what can I do with the proceeds of that sale? I could take it and use it as a Karban Shlamim. In other words, it's still usable as a Karban. Now, it itself is not going to be offered as a Karban. This is not considered Mosar Pesach. We went over a number of times together over the course of these Perakim that if I have a Karban Pesach that I, for whatever reason, did not need on Pesach itself, and it remained till after Pesach, so that's called Mosar Pesach, that's called a residual Pesach, a leftover Pesach, and as we all know, that could be brought as a Karban Shlamim. We've said that already a number of times. Here, however, the challenge is that I found my original Pesach in the afternoon on the 14th. So it was nireh. At one point it was fit, and then nidche, and then it was pushed off. And we have a general rule that once you have dichui by karban, once it's pushed off, so it can't be brought as a karban any longer. This is the principle of nireh v'nidche. That's why what the Mishnah is telling us we need to do is let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and then the proceeds of the sale will be used to purchase a shlamim. Okay, but the simple point of the Mishnah, and I know this is just a Mishnah, and it's already complicated, but the simple point of the Mishnah is that first karban that I lost and now recovered, and now I found, and I found it before shechting the replacement animal, still has Kedushas Pesach, and I could still do something with it. In this case, not a whole lot, but I could still do something with it. So because the original karban has some karban value to it, so therefore, v'chein temura so. The same thing would be true with the temura, which means now, if I try to affect a temura after the whole episode, I lost it, I replaced it, I found it, I found it before I shafted the replacement, and now I affect temura with the original animal, what then becomes is that the temura also will have Kedusha. Just give me a moment. Achar shchitas haPesach, so then krav shlamim v'chein temurasa. However, if I find it after the shchita of the Karban Pesach, which means I lost the animal, I replaced it with the Karban Pesach, I offered the Karban Pesach, and now I found the original, so now I'm an easy street. Easy street for what reason? Because it wasn't nidche, it wasn't pushed off. Because at the time when I shechted it, my second animal, the first animal was not in my possession. In fact, I didn't know where it was. And now I found it after the Karban Pesach. Now categorically, this is Mosar Pesach. This is residual Pesach, and therefore it is a shlamim. And because it's a shlamim, so therefore if I try to affect temura with this animal, the derivative animal is going to be a shlamim as well. Okay. So now, that's the Mishnah. Let me just quickly review how Rabbi Akiva is explaining Rabbi Yehoshua. There's no machlokas in the Mishnah. That's the beauty of it. What makes the Mishnah hard is that, although there's no machlokas in the Mishnah, the case is very complicated.
How come Rabbi Akiva knew about Rabbi Yehoshua?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer.
Is his teacher?
Yeah, other teachers.
I mean, he had other teachers as well, but, okay, that's part of the Masorah that I'm unfamiliar with. Either way, let me just quickly review the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, first, a statement by Rav Yehoshua, where that is that he had a tradition that sometimes a temura of a Pesach is offered, sometimes the temura of a Pesach is not offered, and that's all Rav Yehoshua had. And what Rabbi Kiva is doing now is giving a scenario where both statements would be true. Where would the statement be true? Where the temura's Pesach is not offered? That's when I have an original animal. I lost it. I replaced it. I found my original animal before shechting my replacement animal. The first animal now is nireh v'nidche, it's pushed off. So this animal cannot be brought as a karban. Not as a karban Pesach, not as a shlamim, because it's nidche. Therefore, what do I do with it? Let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it. Proceeds of the sale is used to purchase another carbon shlamim. But the animal itself cannot be offered as a carbon. Consequently, if I try to affect a tamura with this animal, the derivative animal is going to also have the same halacha, which is, it has that quasi-kedusha, where I can't offer it, I'm going to have to let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the proceeds will go to a shlamim. As a base... I assume shlamim. I mean, the Mishnah says shlamim. In other words, the basic idea is that your derivative animal will only have as much kedusha as your original animal. If your original animal cannot be used, the tamura animal, the derivative animal, also cannot be used. That is Rav Yehoshua's first statement. That's when it's not. That's when the tamura is not offered. And then the next part of Rav Yehoshua, when is the tamura's Pesach can be offered? So that would be a scenario where I lost my original carbon Pesach, replaced it with a substitute. I then offered the substitute, and then I found the original. Finding the original allows me to now bring it as a shlamim, because now it falls under the category of moser shlamim. It was never nidche, it was never pushed off. And so consequently, if I affect a tamura with that animal, the tamura also could be offered as a shlamim. And that's just the beginning of the whole discussion. Okay. We start with the Gemara Vilema, Pesach Krav, Upesach Einu Krav. So the Gemara's first question, you know, this whole discussion would have been just as productive if we just dealt with the Karban Pesach itself. Meaning, adding the tamura dimension to it just gives it another layer and makes it more complicated, but can't we just simply have a direct discussion about the Karban Pesach itself? So the Gemara says, you're right. The point is very well taken. But by adding another layer, another dimension to the discussion, we're basically also establishing that not only is there something called a Karban Pesach, which is offered, a Karban Pesach which is not offered, but more than that, there's also a Tamura's Karban Pesach as well. You're right. It wasn't necessary to make the basic point, but it adds another layer and it adds another halacha that we can derive. Itmar. The Gemara says, now that we're here, so now we're going to try to further qualify our Mishnah. We're going to have two versions of Rabbah. Version number one. Rabbah Amar Kodem Shechita Ula Acher Shechita Shaninu. So Rabbah says, what is a critical moment? The critical moment is going to be Kodem Shechita and Acher Shechita. Meaning that we know that there's a difference between a Pesach that can be offered and a Pesach that cannot be offered. We also know in our Mishnah says, what is that critical moment? Well, if I lost the original Karban Pesach and I replaced it with a substitute, and then I found the first one, so if I found the first one, the simple Pshat our Mishnah, if I found the first one before I shechted the replacement, so this is what's called Dichui, it's pushed off. And then the Pesach cannot be offered. If I found it after the shechting, so then it's not nidche, it's not pushed off, and therefore it simply falls under the category of moser shlamim. In other words, basically all Rav is doing is he's just giving us what I would have assumed to have been the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Ad kan divrei Rabbah. Rabbi Zeira Amar, kodem chatzos ul'acher chatzos shaninu. Now Rabbi Zeira says, no. You know when that critical moment is? It's not when the actual shechita, it's the zman shechita. As we learned from the beginning of the fifth parak, we know that the zman shechita's carbon pesach is chatzos. Okay, midday. Okay, there's a discussion about that extra half an hour that's tacked on. We don't say 12, we say 12:30. Is it because the afternoon actually starts at 12:30, or it's just a little bit of a buffer time because we don't know precisely when noon is, so therefore we give a half an hour so that we get to see the sun actually move to the western hemisphere of the sky. That extra half an hour, for our purposes, I'll just ignore it. But I'm acknowledging that I do remember there was that extra half an hour that we discussed. But the point is as follows. According to Rabbi Zeira, the critical juncture is going to be chatzos. It's going to be noon. Because what happens at noon, that replacement animal, even though it wasn't shechted, roi, it's fit to be shechted. At that point in time now, what essentially that means is that even if I find my replacement animal after chatzos, even though I haven't shechted the replacement, But basically what chatzos does is it rate locks, right? A little mortgage terminology. But it basically takes that replacement animal and says, you are going to be the Karban Pesach that we're going to use. And even though I did set aside another one, and even though I found the other one, but because I found it after chatzos, so therefore it is basically not in the discussion of the Karban Pesach, and therefore it moves to the category of Moser Pesach. It's leftover, and therefore I could bring it as a shlamin. If, however, says Rabbi Zera, I found my original animal before chatzos, now I'm looking at my original Karban Pesach and my replacement Karban Pesach. Now the original Karban Pesach is nidcha, now it's pushed off, and now it cannot be brought as a carbon altogether. Not as a Karban Pesach, because I rejected it as a Karban Pesach. Not as a shlamim, because it's not mosar, it's not left over. Okay? Ad kan divrei Rabbi Zera. So basically, what we have in our Gemara is a basic machlokus between Rabbah and Rabbi Zera in terms of when that critical juncture is going to be. Is that critical juncture of me finding my original Karban Pesach before or after I shecht my replacement Karban Pesach? Or is that critical juncture going to be chatzos?
It could be overlap.
Hmm?
It could be overlap.
You're right. No, in other words, there will be a point where they overlap, but according to Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera is saying a bigger chiddush. And Rabbi Zera is saying that even though I didn't actually shecht my replacement animal, but once chatzos rolls around, that's it. The replacement animal is the Karban Pesach. And my original now just gets shuffled off as the Moser Pesach. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem with Rabbi Zera, and it's a small problem. Oh, the Rabbi Zera, Hakatani Karban Shechitas HaPesach. Yeah, the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah is Shechitas HaPesach. So, Eima Karban Zman Shechitas HaPesach. So the Gemara points out, okay, you're right, not the best wording for Rabbi Zera, but we'll just simply say Shechita means Zman Shechita. That's all. Kitanaya Pesach Shenimsa Karim Shechita Yira La'achar Shechita Yikrav Rabbi Lozer Omer Karim Chatzos Yira La'achar Chatzos Yikrav. And the Gemara now notes that this machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Zera is in fact the machlokus Tanayim. So basically now we see it amongst the Amorayim, we see it amongst the Tanayim. Good. Achar Shechita Pesach Yavi Shlamin. Now, after Shechita Pesach, what happens? I bring it as the Shlamin. So again, let's just quickly review. The case scenario in our Mishnah is, I set aside an original Karban Pesach. I lost it. I replaced it with a second Karban Pesach. The second Karban Pesach now comes around the 14th day of Nisan, comes around the afternoon of Nisan, and now I find my original Karban Pesach. So again, machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Zera, but just for our purposes, let's just simply say, if I find it after the Shechita, so then it goes off as Moser Shlamim, meaning because I shechted my replacement, so now my replacement served as my Karban Pesach, and the original animal now gets to shuffle off as Moser Pesach. Amar Rava, lo shana lo shenimsa, achar shechita, v'hemer bo, achar shechita. Now, I'm sorry, another thing to review. What also did our Mishnah teach us? That not only is this going to create a distinction in the actual Karban Pesach itself, it will also create a distinction in the tzmura of such a Karban Pesach. So that if I affect tzmura with the original Karban Pesach, so basically whatever happens to the original is going to happen to the tzmura as well. If the original cannot be offered as a Karban Bechlal, because it's nidcha, so the same thing would be true with the tzmura. If the original can be offered as a shlamim, so then the same thing would be true regarding the tzmura. That is our Mishnah. Now, on that, we're on Sadi Vav Amud Beis, we're starting right in the middle of the Amud, we're at the two dots. So, Amar Rava, Lo Shanu Ela Shenimsa Achar Shechita, Vehemir Bo Achar Shechita. This halacha is only if I find it after Shechita, and I affect Temura after Shechita. Aval, Nimsa Kodem Shechita. But let's say I find it before Shechita. So now I have my two Karban Pesachs in front of me. My original and my replacement. Ve'hemer bo achar shechita, and I affect temura. After I do the shechita, temura, so mikoach kedusha dechuya ka'asya v'lo kreva. So then the temura is coming from a kedusha dechuya, meaning as I pointed out in the beginning, temura, the derivative is basically no different than the source. Because the source is Kedusha Dechuya, so will the derivative as well. Even though, right, I know this is complicated. Even though the Temura has been affected post shechita, but still, because the original animal's nidche, the tzemura also is going to be nidche as well. That is the version of our first version of Rava. Okay, so far so good. Eisvei. The Gemara challenges based on a brisa. I'm sorry, Eisvei Abaye. Abaye challenges Rava. Im kesev, matam alarm im kesev. This is Vayikra Perek Gimel. This is the Perek in Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, that deals with the halachas of a carbon shlamin. The Torah says you can bring a shlamin from basically whatever you want. You can bring it from a sheep, you can bring it from a goat, you can bring it from buck or from large cattle. Okay, that could all be animals for your carbon shlamin. The Torah, when introducing the kesev, keves kesev, by the way, the Torah refers to it as either one. So if you bring it a sheep, matom alamer im kesev, l'rabos t'morsa pesach, achar pesach, shekrava shlamin. So the Gemara says that we're deriving the following. The word im is extraneous. Maybe the whole parsha really is extraneous. The Torah is telling us, or I should say rather, the Brisa is telling us that it's coming to include the following scenario. That Temuras Pesach, after Pesach, can be brought as a shlamin. Ad kan divrei ha-Brisa. Okay, so we have a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. We have a drasha based on that pasuk, and basically the drasha says, if I affect Temura with a Pesach, after the Shechita, I could take the Temura and offer it as a shlamin. If your head is not currently spinning right now, it means that you may understand what's flying. What's flying in the Brisa, right, just again, a simple pshat, is that it's the same, the setup is always going to be the same. I had an original Karban Pesach, I lost it. I replaced it with a replacement. I offered the replacement. I found my original. I then affected Temura with my original. Why I did that, who knows, it doesn't even matter for the purpose of our discussion. I affected Temura with the original. So, Rava says that if I affected Temura with the original, even if I do so after the Shechita of the replacement, it's no good. Why? Because the derivative is no different than the source. Since the source animal can't be brought as a carbon, neither can the Temura, neither can the derivative. That is the halacha of Rava. When the Gemara quotes the Brisa is essentially making the same point. However, Hechi Dami, the Gemara now observes and notes the following. What is exactly the case scenario? Is the case scenario where I find my original animal after the Shechita, I affect it tomorrow after the Shechita, is that what the Brisa is talking about? Pshita. As pshitas goes, by the way, this is not one of the most simple pshitas out there. But that would be obvious. And the reason why it would be obvious is because, as we explained, when I find my original Karban Pesach after I shechted my replacement, the original Karban Pesach is moved to a shlamim. So in other words, if the Pesach is a shlamim and I affect more with that, so then its derivative also is going to be a shlamim. So essentially, what the Gemara is bothered by is, the Brisa wouldn't be making such an obvious point. So lam likra. So it must be that the case of the Brisa is more sophisticated. It's a case in which I found the original animal before Shechita. I then shechted my replacement Karban Pesach. I then affected Temura. And the Brisa is telling me that my Temura can be used as a carbon Pesach. Sorry, I misspoke. The Temur can be brought as a shlamim. That must be the point of the Brisa, because otherwise, what would be the point? Lo la'olam shenimsa achar shechita v'hemer bo achar shechita. So the Gemara says, nope, I'm going to disagree. The Brisa is making the simple point, where I found the original animal after shechita, I affected the Temura after the shechita. To which the Gemara says, didn't we say that was obvious? The Gemara says, yes, but we're not learning that from the Pasuk. Even though the Brisa sounds like we're learning it from the Pasuk, we're not. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. What's the Pasuk? The Pasuk is merely but an asmachta. Meaning that really this is a standalone halacha. It really is not connected to the Pasuk. But sometimes what the Chachamim do is they take halachas and they kind of hook it onto a Pasuk. This is the idea of asmachta. Asmachta means... Smachta, by the way, doesn't... Smachta is a layered statement that comes up in the Gemara. It's textured. Meaning sometimes it means it's a din derabanan, sometimes it means it's, you know, it may be somewhere between a deraisa and derabanan. In this context, it's clearly a deraisa. I mean, think about it. We're talking about tumura. We're talking about karbanos. It's clearly a din d'oraisa. But the point is that the halacha is not being generated by the pasuk. The halacha is just simply connected to the pasuk. So it's an asmachta. So your point was, well, why would the Torah tell me that? Isn't that obvious? No, it's not the Torah telling me that. It's the chachamim, it's chazal telling me that, and just linking it to the pasuk. But it's not a real drasha. Alakrai lamayasa, the Gemara says, and as far as the pasuk is concerned, you're curious, the Gemara says, I'll help your curiosity. Kedetanya kesav l'rabos is a pesach, la'alya, kesav l'rabos is a pesach, la'alya, the tail of the carbon pesach goes up onto the mizbeach. Kishu armi im kesav l'rabos pesach shav v'shnaso ushlamim habay machmas pesach. When it says im kesav, which is extra, so that means that a carbon pesach that is over a year old and shlamim that come as a result of a carbon pesach l'chometz shlamim shetam smichu nesachem tenufa chazav v'shok. It comes to tell me that if I have a pesach that for whatever reason converts to a shlamim, it basically takes on all the rules of a shlamim. Why would I have thought differently? Because as we know, a Pesach is kind of like a carbon shlamim, but there's no halacha of smicha and tenufa and chazav ishok, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but I'm saying, but this is just a tangential point of what we're actually learning from the Pasuk. And the simple, and the Gemara is just telling us that once a Pesach converts to a shlamim, it becomes a bona fide shlamim. And as far as the A's is concerned, why does the Torah segregate the sheep from the goat to tell me that the sheep has a halacha where the tail needs to go up onto the mizbech, but the A's has a small little tail, but that doesn't need to go up onto the mizbech. That's not considered kachi Hashem. Okay, adkan, meaning that was all version number one. Can I quickly review? Not review, just summarize. Basically, according to our first version of Rava, in the event that I lost my original carbon pesach, I replaced it. I found my original carbon pesach before shechting my replacement, where we said that the original carbon pesach now is nidcha, it is pushed off, it can't be brought as anything. Neither is a carbon pesach nor is a shlamim. Then what I do is I then shecht my replacement carbon pesach. I then affect tamura. The tamura animal, the derivative animal, is no different than the original, even though the tamura was been affected after the shechita. We challenged Rava based on the brayso, so the Gemara ended up defending our first version of Rava. So far, so good. Igidam asking la resha, the Gemara says, some have a slightly different version of Rava. Ha pesach shenimsa karim shechita za pesach yirah chiyistavi yimakar v'yavi b'damav shlamim. V'chein tamura so... In the Reisha of the Mishnah, we're talking about finding the original Karm Pesach before Shechita. What do we say? That the original is now Nidcha. It's nothing. In other words, it's not a Karm Pesach. It's not a Shlamim. What do I do with it? Let it graze, develop a blemish. V'chein Temuraso. And then in the Mishnah, it says, that's not only true regarding the Karm Pesach, that's also true regarding the Temura of such a Karm Pesach. Amar Rava. Now, according to version number two, here we go. A slightly different version of Rava, one that disagrees with version number one. Lo shanu ala shenimsa karim shchita veheimer bo karim shchita. Aval nimsa karim shchita veheimer bo achar shchita tumuraso kreva shlamim. In version number two, even though I found my original carbon pesach before the shchita of the replacement, and even though the original carbon pesach is dechuya, it's pushed off, but because the tumura has been affected after the shechita of the replaced carbon pesach, so therefore the tamura has what kind of kedusha? The kedusha of moser shlamim. Now this second statement of Rava really is a big chiddush. Now, I didn't say that about the first statement. Why is the second statement a big chiddush? Because essentially now the derivative is better than the original. The original cannot be brought as a carbon since you found it before the shechita. And what about the tamura? The derivative can be brought as a shlamim. Why? Because the tamura has essentially been affected, not essentially, it has been affected after the shechting of my replacement carbon pesach. So therefore, it files under the category of a shlamim, not a dichui. Okay, my taima, And the Gemara spells it out. Ki kava shchita midi de chazilei midi. The lo chazilei midi de lo chazilei lo kava. Okay, because it was at the time. It was chazi. It was fit at the time. All right, Eisve. Before we no, I'll tell you what. Let's go on in the Gemara and then I'll come back. Eisve Abaye. So now Abaye is going to ask Rava. So in version number two now, the rest of the discussion will be the same. Now, it's, of course, not going to be exactly the same, because the starting point of our discussion is a different starting point. But the brisa that we're going to quote and the refutation is all going to follow in the same way as we did in version number one. If I affected Tamura with my original carbon Pesach that I lost and now found, as long as I affected the Tamura after the Shechita, the Tamura can be offered as a Shlamim. I might have thought this would be true even before I shechted my replacement carbon Pesach cane. Tamalamar, who krav ain't Tamura Pesach. Kreva, it could be offered, but the Tamura's Pesach cannot be offered. Hey, Chidam, the Gemara says, now again, how is this price working? If we're talking about where I find and affect Tamura before the shechting of the replacement, Pshita, it is obvious. Lamali Kra, why would I need a Pasuk? So, Alalav, Shinimsa, Kodim Shchita, Vehimer, Bo, Acher Shchita. So it must be that I found it before the Shechita. I affected the Tamura after Shechita. And Tiyufta de Rava, Tiyufta. And the Gemara says this will be a refutation on Rava's second version. So the Gemara ends up refuting Rava's second version, which basically means now that we're only left with Rava's first version. And just intuitively, if I'm allowed to say that, intuitively it makes sense because the second version of Rava really is such a phenomenal Chiddush where the original Karban Pesach cannot be offered as a Karban, but then it's Tamura can be offered as a carbon. It really, in other words, it really smacks in the face of Tamura in general, because Tamura is essentially just a rollover of, it's a derivative of the original animal. So it's hard to imagine that the Tamura is going to be any better than the original. Okay? Ad Khan, that takes us through the Gemara coming up is also going to be complicated, but that takes us through probably the most complicated part of today's daf, and that is again the two versions of Rava, and if the entertainment of the possibility that maybe a Tamura can end up becoming better or more offerable than the original carbon. Okay, Ad Khan. Just in general, spend a moment with analysis. I don't do this that often, but just in general, you know, by Tamura, there's a general question. When we learn Masechta Tamura, I brought this up a couple of times. It's classic yeshiva talk, and that is when we talk about the Tamura, essentially what happened in the Tamura, meaning the Torah says that if I affect Tamura, so the Kedusha does in fact transfer from A to B. So essentially, the question, the way they analyze it in the yeshiva is basically, is B just a offshoot of A, meaning the Kedusha is really invested in A, which I'm now just simply transferring over to B, or no, is B really a new act of Kedusha, and it just happens to be that A still retains the Kedusha, but really B is in effect a new act of Kedusha. That right? It's, in other words, it's the same result. It's just a question of, is B a derivative of A, or is B really a new act of Kedusha, and with A just simply retaining its Kedusha? So if you're following the analysis, it really fits in so well with our Gemara's discussion. Because our Gemara is talking about where the original animal is nidcha, it's pushed off, but meanwhile, if I do the Tamura after the Shechita, so according to Rava version number one, well, if the source animal cannot be brought, neither can the Tamura. What does that tell you? That Tamura is just simply an offshoot of the original. If, however, go with version number two of Rava, where I can offer this Tamura, it's because really the Tamura is a new act of Kedusha, but the original animal just simply has its original invested Kedusha. Okay. From the Gemara's analysis, yes. I mean, not analysis, but from the Gemara's conclusion, yes. The first viewpoint is accepted. Okay, Amar Shmuel, and we continue. Okay, we are on Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph. We are going to be learning a statement. Shmuel Kosher Bechatas Mesa BePesach Krav Shlamim. VeKosher Bechatas Roa BePesach Nami Roa. Okay, statement of Shmuel. Shmuel basically is going to align two different halachas. Let's go. There are two correlations that Shmuel's talking about. By the way, they are just correlations. There's no cause and effect over here. It just happens to, Shmuel just happens to say that I noticed that there are two corollaries in halacha. In the carbon chatas, whenever the chatas needs to go die, so in a corollary case by a carbon Pesach, it is offered as a shlamim. And if in the event that a carbon chatas needs to graze and develop a blemish, in the corollary case of carbon Pesach, it also needs to graze and develop a blemish. Okay. Let's start off with halacha number one of Shmuel, and that would be the halacha of chatas amesos. Okay, Stu, we just talked about this. Okay, what are the five chatas amesos? Right, timna, or vitimna. Okay, right? Okay, five times in the Torah where you have a carbon chatas, and for five different reasons, the Torah says chatas cannot be offered as a carbon chatas anymore, but rather the animal is left to die. Now, I know every carbon is going to die, but there's a difference between dying and being shechted. Okay? When the carbon chatas is destined to die, so that means then that we're just going to simply put in a pen, not feed it anymore, or feed it barley, and let its stomach blow up. Right? I think the latter. Okay, either way. In other words, but it simply, it cannot be offered as a carbon. So let's just quickly go over them. Number one, Vlad chatas. In other words, the chatas has a baby. Okay? The tamuris chatas. I affect tamura using a carbon chatas. Vlad chatas, tamuris chatas, and chatas shemesa bala. Chatas where the owner of it died. The owner of it died, and he no longer needs a kapara. His death served as a kapara. So therefore the carbon chatas is no longer need to be offered. Okay, those are the three easy ones. And then we get to the tricky ones. Chatas shenizkarpu bala ba'acheres. I have a carbon chatas where the owner received a kapar through another carbon chatas. Why? Because he lost the original carbon chatas. And finally, number five, chatas sha'avra shnasa. The chatas got too old to be offered as a carbon, and so therefore the only thing left for it to be do is it to die. So what basically Shmuel is saying is that if I had a corollary of any one of those five circumstances by Karm Pesach, so in such a scenario, such Karm Pesach would be brought as a shlamim. Now, right away, and that was the first halacha of Shmuel, right away, we could take away one of the five, okay, for biological reasons. Karm Pesach is a male animal. The Karm Pesach is not going to have an offspring. Okay, so five, really, it's five minus one. Okay, the second statement of Shmuel, I know, I see the time, we've got to finish up. The second statement of Shmuel is that if I ever have a scenario where a chatas is left to graze, as if there is such a scenario, there is, I mean, Shmuel wouldn't say it. If I had a chatas which is left to graze, so in a corollary scenario by a Pesach, it too would need to graze, develop a blemish, and then sell it and use the proceeds for a shlamin. Okay? V'cholsha b'chatas roa b'pesach namiro. Rav Yochanan amar ina pesach krav shlamim ela shenimtza achar shchita. Ava kodim shchita lo. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the carbon pesach, it will not be offered as a shlamim unless it is found after the shchita of the original. But if it's found before, it will be nitche, will be pushed off. So Maskov Rav Yosef Eklalohu, Rav Yosef says, is this really a rule? Now first of all, if I have a chatas which is over a year old, it's left to graze. It's like standing in a cemetery. It's just the imagery of it's no longer accessible. And we know by Karm Pesach, once a Karm Pesach gets too old, it's offered as a shlamim. So this corollary of Shmuel simply does not work. Because we find that a chatas that's left to graze in a corollary case by a Pesach is not left to graze. Okay, I read all that quickly. We this second time we're going through this psukim in Vayikra, but basically what the psukim tell us is once your Pesach gets too old, it turns into a shlamim. You offer it as a shlamim, and you treat it with all the shlamim halachas, not like a Karm Pesach. Anyway, what do you see? When the Karm Pesach gets too old, it simply turns into a shlamim. So now the Gemara is simply saying, Shmuel, I don't understand. You said that if an achatzas is left to graze, in a Pesach it's left to graze. But in the same scenario, by a chatzas it's left to graze, and by a Pesach, it just simply turns into a shlamim. So it sounds like, Shmuel, you're not right. So, ki kama Shmuel ba'avudim, b'dechuyim lo amar. So the Gemara says, we're going to limit Shmuel's statement. You're right, Shmuel made a corollary, but a limited corollary. He only said it regarding lost animals, not animals that were nidcha, that were pushed off. Good.
Why don't we argue with Shmuel that since this is a kachkachim, it's a whole different...
That goes back to my original point. It's not a cause and effect. Shmuel was just simply noticing that when I see the halacha here, the halacha will be here. Not because it causes an effect. It's just simply, it's a correlation. It's not a causation. Fine. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here, not tomorrow, but on Yontov, we will pick it up from this point in time. A little bit more to go to finish this block of Gemara, the Sugya of Gemara. It ends on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. We actually don't have a lot to go in order to finish, and then we will continue. Over Yontov, can I excite the masses? Not that this isn't exciting. Actually, the more I find myself going over it, the more I'm beginning to understand it. But we are starting, what day? Meaning, I'm so lost. Right. Tomorrow we're not getting together. Thursday is Tzadi Ches. Right? How am I doing so far? It sounds good. And then Friday would be Tzadi Tes. So we're starting the 10th Perek on Simchas Torah. Okay. I'm trying to figure out Tamura right now, and you're giving me a much more complicated discussion of times. Okay, Adkan again, learning we do this evening. Shibili Ilui Nishmas Makachana Bas Chaim.